He's either going to take the lap around the veranda, not the veranda. What do you call it? It's a thing. A round thing and you sit in it.
That might have been the oldest man, like old man mistake I've ever heard you make. The veranda.
It's not a veranda. It's a.
That's the best part.
I know. Okay.
You just had that word in your wheelhouse.
That's the word I can think of. That's not the one I forgot. That's the one that's at the tip of my tongue. He goes to the thing that's not a veranda. What is it that's not a veranda? Veranda. Synonyms for veranda are porch, gallery, balcony, lanai, sun porch, or stoop.
So what are you thinking? It's not a veranda
No, it's not a veranda.
You're thinking almost like, not cul-de-sac.
No, it's a structure. It's an octagonal structure with a roof and benches inside. Oh,
like not a pergola.
Who's old? Pergola.
Well, there's lots of pergolas here, so.
You should spray for them.
Oh, my God. No.
You know exactly what I'm thinking of, right?
Mm-hmm. Shoot. Now I have to get up the Google machine.
Yeah, and I don't even know what to Google. Gazebo.
Gazebo!
Woo!
Or God bless you.
As it is phonetically spelled, gazebo.
Gazebo! That's such a great word.
Yeah, and that's where Linus goes sometimes. And then smiles at me. Hey, Dad.
Gazebo!
And with that, we start the show.
Okay.
All right, so
let's start the show.
Well, I've been trying to. Hold on.
Right, gazebo.
It's not a veranda.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We should start doing the horn live.
We should. You want to do it now? I'll replay the element if you want to.
No, because there's a delay. It won't work.
What if you allow for it? Okay, here we go. Ready? Dude.
Cake and cookies.
It comes after
Rob
this.
Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Wow, there is a delay.
How bad was it?
The show's already over.
I didn't even get to the start.
It's Cake and Cookies. I'm Cake.
I'm Cookie.
And we're here for another episode. Katie feeling well, ready to go back to a regular schedule, and we're loving life.
Yes.
So things are good. Hope you're having a good one. It's Memorial Day weekend, and you're applying lip gloss?
Yeah.
Just for me, because it's not like we're doing a video stream.
Oh, no, my I'm parched.
Oh, on the front parch or the back parch? Or maybe on the lanai. That is
the balcony.
Balcony, the stoop.
Gazebo!
See, there you go. You love yelling that word. So it's
give
a
it
big
a shot. Give it a try.
Should I try?
It.
Okay, yes. Here we go. Veranda! Oh, I messed
no,
up.
No, gazebo.
Gazebo. Gazebo. Gazebo. Gazebo.
Gazebo.
Now my father's calling the landline.
Okay, I think you need to pick up.
All right, hold on. Hello?
Hello?
I just want to warn you, the reason I couldn't grab your cell phone call before is that we're doing Cake and Cookies right now, and Katie insisted I put you on the air.
I did not.
You insisted.
Are you here right now?
Yes, you are. So say hi to all the cake and cookie people.
Well, hello, crumbs. How you doing?
Love you, Dad.
I'm on my way to the pet store because Tegan found two fledgling sparrows, and I need to go get some fledgling sparrow food to feed them.
What a good project for your weekend.
Yeah, it's exactly what I had planned.
I know you love to be out and about buying bird food at 9:54 in the morning.
Do you have to chew it first?
And with birds sitting on a towel in my living room going, tweet, tweet, tweet.
They're keeping their tweets to under 140 characters. Katie wants to know.
That's a funny bird joke. I get it.
Katie wants to know if you have to chew the food before you feed it to the sparrows.
No, actually, what you do is you take cat food and soak it in water and then add a little bit of parrot vitamin juice and then feed them very slowly so they don't choke.
How did you figure this out?
I bet he went on the internet. Did you go on the internet for that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that you sound like a defeated man right now because I'm rooting for you.
As a good friend of mine once said, Birds of a feather flock together.
This is so true. Let me go, and I will call you in an hour or so, and I'll get the full story.
Okay, guys, and goodbye, crumbs.
And they say goodbye, Grandpa Bob. Talk to you later. That's my dad.
That was fun.
Hot bird update. Now, my father is a lover of all things, the animal, vegetable, and mineral, and I'm sure that if the grandkids had not been there, he still would have taken strides towards saving those fledgling sparrows. However,
like, I agree.
However, I'm not sure that the plan, if he had been flying solo, would have been going into town before 10 a.m. to soak bird food and buy parrot juice. And how much juice can you get out of one parrot anyway?
I don't know. Well, parrots can get pretty big.
I don't like them. They live too long. Creeps me out.
I was just going to say they live like 30 years.
80 years.
80?
80. Especially the Norwegian blue. Beautiful plumage.
You made that up, right?
What? The Norwegian blue?
Mm-hmm.
That's from a Monty Python routine, the dead parrot routine.
Oh, okay.
He says, I'm not talking about the bloody plumage. The bird is stone dead. Because like
my
every
first jaw doctor had a parrot that would ride to work with him every day.
Yes. So he could use the carpool lane.
I don't know that it counts.
It's a half of bird. Half of person.
Unfortunately, he passed while I was going through like procedures.
The man or the parrot?
The parrot.
Oh, thank God.
And he was very, very sad.
Yeah.
The man.
I guess, yeah.
And waited about 6 months and got a new baby bird. But the baby bird was full of sass.
Hello there, baby bird. That was a, there was a horror movie where, I think it was John Voight. He's that really weird accent. Hello, baby bird.
I think.
So it was it a talking bird?
Yes.
I don't like them either.
But the original talking bird that he had was just very sweet and would like do little snuggle things and just very sweet. The baby bird that he got though, different personality.
Well, I mean, are birds
he bit
more
a couple people?
Are birds more nature or nurture?
Because
I mean, like a dog is all, I believe, almost entirely nurture. It's how you bring the dog up that's going to determine the personality. But maybe this was just a bad
seed. Oh my God,
a bad seed.
What did we do with Presley?
Depressly.
Unimpressly.
The movie Anaconda with John Voight, in which he battled a massive killer snake in a lake, and he would say, where are you, baby bird? I had to get that out.
Okay.
But that's not the reason I called.
I don't believe I've taken in that picture.
You hadn't head down to the cinema?
Mm-mm.
Go down to the multiplex, buy yourself a nickel bag of popcorn, and see John Voight say, baby bird. It's a great way to spend an afternoon. Solo, by the way.
What?
I saw Solo.
Oh, okay.
And no.
My sister liked it.
Why? There's nothing in it to like.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
It's too long. It's uneven. There are no good jokes. I had to look at Chewbacca.
Jokes?
Well, I mean, you know, like funny lines, something like that. And Chewbacca is, I didn't mind knowing the backstory of how Han and Chewbacca met, which was nice. But when he met Chewbacca, Chewbacca was all muddy and his fur was matted. And I'm thinking, can we please get this Wookiee a shampoo? Something. A style and set? Something. Anyway, when a movie opens with essentially 30 minutes of chasing and fighting, should you nod off? No.
It's like when the lion gets to the
it's the Land of Oz.
The castle.
That's the Land of Oz.
Yeah.
It's more than a castle. The castle is within the Land of Oz.
Well, they needed to
ho, 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 ha, 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 and a couple of la-dee-das. Certain air of savoir-faire in the wonderful Land of Oz. Ha!
My God, you know the words.
I know all the words. But I also have to give this caveat. Bert Lahr was a broken man. Very sad, the man who played the Cowardly Lion.
Okay.
A constant complainer, nervous tics, hated the business. Sad, really. So think about that the next time you watch the movie, kids.
Rob...
Are we disjointed today?
you just keep throwing me off. I don't even know what to say. First, it was...
What?
The gazebo, and then you were talking about the doors and...
Well, all right,
seeing it with your mom, and then now I don't know.
I don't understand. I don't understand. Okay, what we need to do is reset. WABC. Our lead topic today, hooray for the Chubbucks.
Yeah, okay. Let's steer this boat correctly. We need a good boat dog. Why do you have three refrigerators?
I have three refrigerators because one of them has been slowly dying.
The one, okay, so I'm assuming it's the one in the basement that has been slowly dying.
Yeah.
Now, that was your beverage.
That's a bev fridge. And you know what? That's okay as
Did
a rule.
Did you just call it a bev fridge?
Bev fridge. Yeah. That was your old DJ name, wasn't it? Short for Beverly.
You can call me Beverly.
That's of course. So when we moved into the house, this is a long and tedious backstory, so if you need to go and like wax your car, now's the time to do it. But if you're going to stick around...
I'll be back in about 30, 35 minutes.
Use the power buffer, Bev. So what you do is this. When we moved into the house, there was a utility room in the basement, okay? And in the utility room,
it's still there.
Okay, that's true. When we moved in the house is when we first realized that the ever-present utility room was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it remains omnipresent. And omnibenevolent. This is a good utility room. So in there is the water heater. There was also like one of those sinks that's like maybe a slop sink or a laundry sink, like a big deep sink.
A slop sink?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like we're slaughtering hogs down here, but I don't know what to call it. Is it a gazebo? Oh,
it's probably a laundry sink.
Okay, a laundry sink. Well, I'm as equally as likely to slaughter hogs in my basement as I am to do laundry in my basement because the machines are up two floors. But anyway. This was taking up quite a bit of room because this slop sink where I slaughter all the pigs is like 2 by 3 feet, right? Right?
Right.
Don't tune out on me. Please help me out.
I'm sorry.
The car
I'm
looks
not
great,
sorry.
By
I'm
the
really
way.
Not sorry.
I know. You're sorry, not sorry.
I wasn't even sorry not sorrying you. I just am not sorry.
All right. Do you have regrets at all about it? I mean, is there any level of sadness?
No.
Okay, so now I know where
no
I stand.
No regrets.
No regrets. That's good. So helps me find my equal footing. So I said, you know what about this slop sink? It's taking up a lot of room. And this is where I want to put my shelves for my albums. Now, this is a very important fact.
Left corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have about 12, I have about 36 feet of albums in storage that aren't like my key go-to records, okay? There's several.
Those are the ones in the utility room.
Yes, and these are ones that are mostly like stock music and odd turn-off, you know, like one-off albums from the 80s and 70s.
And doubles.
And doubles and stuff like that. Now, I do have several feet upstairs of like, you know, my most recent purchases. Julia's albums are upstairs. In the basement, I have another 4 feet of like Elvis and Beatles stuff. But these are like my storage albums, right? The ones that not... recurrence, as we would say in the radio business.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that room. So we had a plumber come out and remove the slop sink. And he says, sir? And I said, yes, plumber. He said, where are you going to slaughter your hogs now? And I said, here's the thing. I never. That's half elephant, half rhino.
Thank you.
I said, plumber.
We're back on track.
Never miss. Two for two. So I said, plumber? Yes, sir, he said. I never really slaughtered hogs. I just want this sink out of here. And so he did it. And he removed it, and he capped the hot and cold water and the drain, and so we're good. And so that's when we had the extra space. That's when I got this old General Electric refrigerator from my brother-in-law, Tim. He didn't need it anymore. And it was old, like old where it's small-ish. Maybe it was an apartment refrigerator. A couple shelves were missing. A lot of cracked plastic in it, but it worked.
Okay. And it where had did a get it?
He had it from years ago. I don't know. I don't know the backstory. I didn't run like a what is the thing you run a Carfax report on it? Refrigerator facts. So I didn't run that freezer facts, but it had a good freezer because you know when you shop at Costco, you need to have extra freezer space, and then I had that extra space for Cokes and beers and stuff like that. Well, over the years, it has gotten older because I've had it for about 10 years, so, and it was old when I got it. So. The freezer always stayed okay, But the refrigerator now only gets down to about 54, 55 degrees, which is not safe for perishable food. And it just makes your beer cool, not cold.
Okay.
So it's become, the refrigerator is basically a storage unit, a cabinet.
Oh, so it is probably useless for Carrie's frozen slushy drinks.
No, it's okay for the slushy drinks because remember the freezer still worked.
Oh, I thought you meant, you said it was okay. That doesn't sound fantastic.
Well, it's not fantastic because it was like a cabinet, a chilly cabinet, not cold, just chilly.
Okay.
And like if I put beer in there, I'd say, okay, I can go downstairs and get a couple beers out of that relatively not hot box and bring it upstairs and put
hot
them
box.
In, not hot box.
Not hot box.
And so I put them in the fridge and then they just cool an additional 20 degrees and they're ready to go. So I was bemoaning this to my buddy Rob Chubbuck, who is, of course, the patriarch of the Chubbuck family. They've been discussed on this show before. Members
also
of the
part
supper
of the
club.
Dinner party.
Supper club, yeah. And also, he is my spotter when I call the sports games at the high school. He is.
Because you don't know anything about sports.
Well, no. Now, you'd be surprised. I can.
I am. I know. I am surprised. You've really, even lacrosse. I don't know how you've done it.
Well, lacrosse is a mess. There's nothing to say in lacrosse. But football, I can do. I can do the football games. I've done it two seasons now. And and Rob and I've got a good system. And he has binoculars, the whole deal. It's fancy. And
is he on the air too? So are you?
No, but we're going to try something new this year. We found out there are wireless mics in the stadium. And we might send him down to the crowd.
Now we've
pushed our luck and they love it. The basketball, they love us at basketball too, where we play music and like when they go to timeout, I play Waiting is the Hardest Part by Tom Petty or Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner and I have them timed out to go 30 seconds and it's great. We have a lot of fun and so our next way to push the envelope is live crowd reports with Rob Chubbuck during halftime and between the quarters.
Nice.
I'm looking ahead too far. So Chubbuck, I say, my fridge, not only is it not keeping my beer cold, now it's going, yeah.
Oh, no.
And he says, well, that's not good. And I said, exactly. He says, I've got a refrigerator in my garage that I just need to get rid of. Do you want it?
Oh.
And I said, yeah, because even if you go on those Loudoun County garage sale sites, people still want $100, $150, $200 for a good refrigerator.
And then you got to deliver
it.
You're going to wind up with a refrigerator that's not far off from what you have now.
Exactly. So I said, fantastic. I said, does it work? He says, like a charm.
I mean, the Chubbucks have bubble machines, so I'm sure that this is a fantastic refrigerator.
Top of the line GE. It's the only thing. I think the reason it went out of commission is because the color scheme in their kitchen changed.
I think you mentioned that Kristen redid their kitchen.
Yeah. So.
And yeah.
So he said,
I don't know how I remembered that.
Because these are important things.
These are the important thing.
She said, and so Rob said.
Dan's here.
Hi, Dan. How you been?
He left.
If Dan shows up and doesn't say anything, was he ever really there in the first place?
I mean, he can't hear you.
Is it that or does he just not listen to me? The lack of respect. You learned that from Robert. Stay in your square. So he said, it's a great refrigerator, and frankly, I'd be delighted to get rid of it. And I said, great. I will go to Home Depot and rent one of them trucks. And he said, no. Jason will be home this week. We'll put it on his truck. Bring it to you. I said, great. Let me know. I'll come help. And then he texts me like 5 days later, and he says, we're on our way. And I was like, crap, I've got to get stuff out of the driveway. So he backs up, they offload it, and they put it, and it slides right into place. I'd already cleaned the garage and ready for its arrival. And I plug it in, and it fires up.
Wait. So you didn't put it in the utility room?
No, we're getting to that.
Oh.
Because the refrigerator in the utility room is 30 inches wide.
Yeah, it's a small little fella.
This is 36. This is the big GE with the parallel opening doors with the left side is the freezer and the right side is the fridge. I mean,
okay.
This is big. And so, yes.
Well, there's a lot of Chubbucks. I would imagine that any refrigerator they had is going to be the biggest.
It's got to be the biggest. So I took out all the shelves. It's got nice, beautiful glass shelves. And the old refrigerator sold. It was just like wire mess shelves, like, you know,
bars.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like, well, no, the one in our guest house is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So when you put this Costco knockoff Pellegrino water, what's it called? Italian sparkling mineral water from Kirkland.
Man, I miss Costco.
It's got like bumpy bottoms.
We don't have Costco here.
I'm sorry.
I know you can't imagine a Bumpy Bottoms.
Bumpy Bottoms, that was my old DJ name. It's Bev Fridge and Bumpy Bottoms. It was a country show. So anyway,
Bumpy Otter would appear occasionally.
But the Bumpy Bottoms, if it doesn't line up on one of those, you know, thin wire shelves, it leans tediously. And so now I've got the beautiful glass shelves.
Not like a gangsta lean where it's on purpose.
No, no. Come on, Eileen, either that. So mm-mm. I got everything. I scrubbed it down. It was a little dusty because it had been out of use. I changed all the, it has four different appliance bulbs in it. The freezer lights up. So I bought four appliance bulbs and I put them in there and scrubbed everything down, fired it up, which is really sort of an ironic way to refer to getting something to cool down, but I fired it up and it's great. The freezer is like at 10 below and the refrigerator
is
like
still in your garage.
It's in the garage and the fridge is like at 33. Perfect.
Now, why did you fire it up in the garage?
Because the first thing to go into the utility room was the baby fridge. And then I put next to it, three different sets of utility shelves that are now full of albums.
Yeah.
So best case scenario, I have to get the old fridge out. All right. And I have to do that. I have to take the door off because kids play in refrigerators and they kill themselves.
Well, okay. Yes. Punky Brewster.
Oh, was there a very special
episode? Yeah, Cherry got locked in a refrigerator.
Oh, well, we're not going to let that happen. Also, I think I have to take the door off in order to get it out. There is, I've measured, no, and you know I'm sort of OCD, right?
Whoa. Let's back up a second. Okay. So you have to take the door off of the 30-inch
refrigerator. Well, I have to do that anyway just to get rid of it. That's the law.
Right, but no, to get it out of the door.
Yeah, now you know I'm OCD, right?
Yes.
I've measured I've measured no fewer than 10 times the space that refrigerator has to slide through to come out of that room without moving records. And ooh. Five times I think it's going to work and five times I think it doesn't. Because I have to sort of estimate the depth of the door going away. And because there's also, it's right up close to the hot water heater. So I have to slide out and over. I can't slide over and out. Does that make sense?
Only because I've seen the room, but otherwise I'd be lost.
So what's going to happen is this. It's probably not going to work. And I'm going to have to move all the albums.
Oh, are you going to have to scoot the album? Ooh,
yeah, I'm going to have to, because they're on shop shelves, you know, those heavy duty shop shelves.
Oh, no, I know.
So I'm going to have to remove.
You'll have to put the records where the old refrigerator was. And then
no matter
the
what
refrigerator.
I don't even know if the new refrigerator is ever going to come inside because I got to do the measuring.
My big question is if you have to take the door off to get it through the door of the utility room, would a 36 inch.
Well, you see, that's the thing. That's when more measuring has to come. And that will be determined when at least one of the shelves is devoid of records. And also, people should know this. Let's go back to the OCD. It's not just like taking all the records off and putting them back on. This is like 40 feet of vinyl in a line that's all alphabetized. So they have to come out in order to go back in order. So don't you
I'm
see?
I'm guessing Mike did not let you tell this story on TMOS.
No. If I began, I would have to, my second move, first tell the story, second make sure my resume is in order because he'd fire me if I told this story. But it is, to
lucky
me.
Lucky for you, I can't fire you.
Top of mind. You. That is lucky. But it is very top of mind because I told Carrie when I set up that room and I put all the albums in there in their order and everything. I said, hope you like this house. And she said, I do. I said, that's great. Cause we're never moving again. Cause I'm not doing this again.
I've decided I want to move to a smaller house.
No.
And what's your problem?
I love your house.
Well, but and it has now that I'm the only one here,
but it has a place for me and the kids and Carrie, if she decides to come.
I mean, I would take that into consideration.
Thank you. But is it still going to be in Savannah, though, right?
Yeah. I'm just thinking like down the street into a smaller house.
Okay, closer to where all the other people are. Being one street away is too far?
No, we're not one street away. We're across the street from everyone.
So you're going to move to the other side of the street.
Right, exactly.
Well.
But anyways, go ahead.
I do think a Reston house was too big for you. I think this house suits you.
Yes. This house is technically bigger than the Reston house, though.
Well,
it's just laid out so much better.
Let's not talk technicalities.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, I know you're not supposed to...
Wait, did you just say, let's not talk technicalities?
I did.
Of all people.
I know. Okay. My apologies to you and to all who hear us.
Yes, you need to make that apology. You need to make that apology and mean it.
I'm very, very sorry.
Not sorry.
That's you.
Okay, go ahead.
So... top of mind for me, and here's the other, there's another elephant in the room, Elefino, is that you're not supposed to have a refrigerator in your garage.
Why?
Because the garage being not climate controlled, should it get excessively hot or excessively cold.
It's going to have to work that much harder.
It works against the thermostat of your refrigerator. Now, keep in mind, my garage is on all sides covered by house because we're in a townhome, yeah. I think we're going to be okay. But also keep in mind, here's another wrinkle. I have to move the wall-mounted bottle opener out to the garage because no one's going to want to get a beer out of the fridge in the garage and go back into the utility room to open their beer. It's got to go out there. So the problems are multifold.
Question about your garage.
Yes, thank you. Go.
With the big, giant Chubbuck refrigerator in there.
Yes.
Does your car fit?
It will still fit if we can get all the other crap out. Like, the refrigerator is not the breaking point here.
The pink shopping cart?
The pink shopping cart is, I believe, currently gone. I believe I talked Carrie out of that.
Is there still Von Herman houseries?
Yeah, there's some of that, and there's a lot of paint that needs to be gotten rid of because, if we haven't repainted in 10 years, we're not going to repaint.
No.
The same colors. There's a bicycle that doesn't get used. I shouldn't have ever bought such a big shop vac.
Who says that sentence ever?
Well, I mean, it was a long time ago and we weren't in this house and we had more space. And the shop vac is a great thing to have. It really is. Vacuuming your car. If you have a leak, it's great for sucking up water, but it's big. It's like just having an extra coffee table now and the hose and all the attachments. So that's another space issue. The cradle is here. We need to get the cradle to my niece, Chelsea. But the
cradle?
Yeah, it's the family cradle from Carrie's family. That's like from the 1930s. Beautiful.
What's a cradle?
A cradle for a child.
Oh, like a crib?
No, it's a cradle because it rocks. Baby, yeah, it rocks.
Okay.
It's the Billy Idol cradle of love is what it is. No, think of this. It's a crossbar with two stands that come up, all right?
And then on the stands, old school.
Yeah, it has a hook, and then the cradle gets in it, and it rocks. Now, Chelsea's baby is now like a month and a half, 2 months old. Time is of the essence. It's going to cost a fortune to ship it, so I'm just going to have to put it somewhere. I don't think she's ever going to get it, but it takes up a lot of room.
Where does she live?
Iowa.
Oh, that's staying with you.
Yeah, I know. We thought about if Michelle, my sister-in-law, who has a job as a flight attendant, could go out there. It could be like a checked item, but it never worked out.
Okay.
So there's
that
just
seems like an awfully large checked item.
It does. It does. And there's also plenty 45s out there.
In the cradle?
No, in the garage.
Oh.
But they can be boxed and stacked against the wall in such a way that they will not hamper a car coming in. We haven't
Are
had a car in there
in alphabetical
long time.
Order?
Why do you do this to me? Not yet. And it's killing me.
Oh.
I see them every day, Katie, and I think I don't understand.
You honestly,
why are they not alphabetical order?
So you're really having a hard time with this to the point like you I can see it.
Yeah, I hate it.
Hear it in your voice.
I hate it. I really
do. You're a mess.
I am. So I've got to get. And really, the bottom line here is the house has been falling apart for the last 9 years because no one cares. I care. And I like.
What do you mean your house? You have a beautiful home.
I know, but like it needs vacuuming. They don't care. They don't do dishes. They don't empty the dishwasher.
Who's they?
Well, it ain't me. I'm not going to point fingers. Linus is pretty good, But I'm not going to point fingers.
But he's getting it done with dew claws.
He is. And here's the thing. It's like, there'll be dishes in the sink for what seems like days. And Julia says, oh, yeah, I'll get them after school. Well, no, she won't, because she's got things to do after school. And then dishes really aren't, dirty dishes are not the best thing to leave sitting around, because they will begin to smell.
Well, you certainly can't do it in the South. Too hot.
Yeah, and buggy.
And bugs, yeah.
And then Robert, if he doesn't put the trash out on Tuesday, he's all, well, they'll come again on Friday. I said, yes, but now we still have trash for 4 more days.
You get trash pickup twice a week?
Yes, but only recycles on Friday.
Huh.
What, you don't?
No.
Well, it's nice to live in Loudoun County.
Once a week, but apparently, same as you, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, well, that's trash day.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday.
Stop that. That actually is going to come to play in the mailbag later. I can't tip my hand. So stay tuned, folks. Right now, the refrigerator is, and it's got a great thing. It's got a little drawer that perfectly holds 12 cans.
Oh, I love, somebody put some thought into that.
Yeah, well, it's a Chubbuck refrigerator. It's top notch. No expense was spared. It was just like Jurassic Park.
No, I mean like the designers. Oh, somebody put some thought into that.
Yeah, so me love it long time. And also because it is now in the garage, it gives me essentially another shelf. I could put things on the refrigerator. However,
like a big bowl of weed.
Before you. Where are you going, Dad? I'm going out to the garage to get high. And then I'm going to go see the Doors. Call
for
my mom.
For those of you who don't know,
yeah,
this is a joke from like 20 years ago.
All right, get ready.
No. On the old, old, old show.
Because old, in addition
old.
To being...
Yeah, one, yeah, two, the yeah. third. Yeah.
In addition
old, old show.
In addition to being OCD, I'm also not part of the drug culture. So the irony of me talking marijuana cigarettes was
the
always...
The irony is that you called it culture.
Was always a delight.
It's a joke within a joke.
There are many layers and whatnot.
Your peanut butter is in my chocolate.
You're almost using a Scott Shannon cadence. Your peanut butter is in my chocolate.
No.
Your chocolate is in my peanut butter. Do not put a garage refrigerator in your... No, that doesn't make sense. Do not put a refrigerator in your garage.
How big is the new refrigerator? It's so big you can drive your car into it.
It is so big that you can fit 36 inches of WPLJ Good Morning t-shirts right inside.
Oh my God, let's go.
Okay, so anyway, stay tuned. Right now the refrigerator is stocked with Dos Equis beer, alcoholic seltzer waters, plain water, Pellegrino, fake Pellegrino, LaCroix, which is very nice with vodka I've found.
Oh.
And all the white wine that I keep chilled in case I need an emergency gift. And then all the freezer stuff. So, pardon me. Just stay tuned and I'll let you know what happens with the records. But I think always about a cartoon that was in The New Yorker. And it said, the reason I got back into vinyl, it was a tie between the expense and the inconvenience.
When Dan and I were driving around for months,
yeah,
looking to figure out what city to move to.
And then you sold your house in 10 days or 10 hours?
Yeah.
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 Go back. That's a great episode.
But the, shoot.
You were driving
my records.
Around. Oh, God, yeah.
I couldn't put those into storage because I didn't trust the climate-controlled storage.
Sure. And they always, and you know what? One little leak of water... And your vinyl collection is toasted. My buddy Mark Riddell had his records in storage and lost hundreds of them. One leak.
I do have some that got wet.
Oh, it's the worst.
I'm still discovering which.
Yeah. It's tough. And when I lived in Big Dad with Big Daddy in McLean, at the family house and where my mom and everybody grew up, and Carrie and I lived with my grandfather for a long time, because it was an older house with copper piping and a well water.
There Chester was, copper piping?
What's that?
Chester copper piping?
That's right. No. Is that the name of the penguin? No, that's Oswald copper piping.
Goonies.
Oh, Chester okay.
Copper pot.
I understand now. But the well water had so much sediment and stuff in it because it was just coming out. No filter, just pure well water.
Ooh.
It would serve as almost like sandpaper on all the pipes that were horizontal because all that stuff is just flushing through all the time. I'm sure it was great for our health as well, but you see, I didn't care about dying of copper poisoning or whatever you get, but copper poisoning, is that a thing? No, there was no lead. The water was safe.
Okay.
But the pipes would just be sanded down. We'd get leaks all the time. I would go down to the basement and I'd actually hear, psst, and I'm like, all right, let's go find it. And so because of that, the records were tarped with big blue painting tarps because at any time a pipe could spray and I had to protect the records. But that also meant every time I wanted to find a record, I had to like go under the tarp. And it was literally, I'm saying all I need is like, I'm looking for the Gary Glitter album and I've got a tooth, I've got my teeth clenched on a flashlight and I'm going under.
Like the ET scene?
Yes! And I did one time, I think the album I was looking for was Buckingham Nicks.
And I
was looking and I leaned in, but didn't realize that I still had the flashlight clenched in my teeth and bumped the flashlight, gagged myself.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're welcome, ladies. It's a sexy thought, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're no longer tarped, but they're all going to have to move. And I'm also thinking if I do move them and I have to move them all, I'm probably going to thin them out.
Oh, yikes.
I know. But you know what? There are. And here's the thing. The Chubbuck's daughter, their oldest daughter, Jillian, has now become a vinyl enthusiast.
Yeah, and, you helped with that.
And she wants volume. She wants volume.
Oh, she just wants more. She doesn't care.
Yeah, so if I have a, you know, say, Tanya Tucker LP.
Hey,
that I Tanya Tucker.
Yeah.
If I had that, I could probably part with that without any sort of reservation, and she would enjoy it. Okay. Now, if it gets down to like the Firestone, Merry Christmas from your Firestone dealers, volumes 1-6.
What is, do you really have something like that?
I have the whole set.
You do? Oh my God. That there's even a, okay, six.
Well, Carrie's dad was a tire dealer.
Okay.
So we got all the good stuff, but this is a great thing. One time.
Did you get any tires? Cause those are expensive.
No, cause he retired.
Oh, my God.
ABC. One time I got an email from buddy and good listener, Greg Cox, and he said that Christmas time is coming. How are you with restoring audio? And I said, decent. Why? He says, I've been working with this obscure Christmas album. It's my wife's favorite. Do you have any tips? And he sent me the title, and it was Firestone Volume 4. I said, don't need to restore it. I have a pristine copy. And it was just like the weirdest thing that it would be the same promotional tire Christmas album. I just have everything.
I just have everything.
No, I don't mean it. I don't mean it as a brag or a show off. It's really mostly sad.
How many Rodgers and Hammerstein albums do you have?
Well, here's the deal. I like Rodgers, but hate Hammerstein. So, no, I guess I have The Sound of Music. I have the King and I, that was them, right?
I don't know. That's why.
And I'm sure I have collections.
I was just wondering.
I'm sure I have collections of their stuff. But yeah.
I'm sending you a picture right now.
Oh, I love pictures. Thank you.
Well, it's Judd. If you can hear, I'm not sure if it's being picked up.
Mm.
He is on the love seat in my office and he is snoring.
Oh, he's snoring. He's that relaxed?
Yes.
He's.
But he's also laying in such a way where he could be saying, paint me like one of your French girls.
Oh, no. Judd, be proper.
He looks very comfortable.
Yeah, but
he looks almost human the way that he is stretched out.
I think that he's laying in such a way that he expects you to come up and tip him a dollar.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is.
I heard the snoring and I peeked around my screen and
he's using a pillow like a human.
Yeah, once I returned to the family bed.
Yes.
He started sleeping with his head on my pillow.
He's a good boy.
He missed me.
He did. We all did.
Well, I slept in the guest room for a month and a half.
And we know what the guest room is usually for.
No.
Usually.
What? No.
Not anymore?
I don't want to talk about, that's not where, why, Rob?
You don't understand. I got to move all the records. So if I seem a bit jumbled, lacking focus.
Yes.
Yes. I'm upset. 100%. I'm bothered.
Why don't we go ahead? Wait, you never finished talking about why there's weed on top of your refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, because it was always very entertaining and ironic for me to talk, and I would use as many dated references to marijuana as I could, like recording the left-handed cigarettes, jazz cigarettes, and all that stuff. And it was always quite entertaining. I'm not a big pot enthusiast.
No.
No, although these edibles, they seem nice.
I hardly know them.
I won't say it is or it isn't one of my uncles who recently went to Las Vegas and bought the edible gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had lost all his money like within 10 minutes of being there, because that's actually on the Spiewak family crest, he
lose all the money
in
that
10,
you have.
In 10 minutes, that's right. So what he started doing was just eating the edibles and watching the lights in front of the Bellagio. And he enjoyed it so much. That he may have bought a jar of Flintstone gummy vitamins and dumped them out and put the gummies in it to get them through security. I'm not going to say if it works or not. It does.
I'm sure it does.
And I don't think they care about that.
No, I'm pretty sure they don't.
No. All right. So that's what's going on with the fridge. That's what's going on with the records. Last night, my vinyl offerings were the entire 3-LP set of Paul McCartney's Rock Show, still recommended. Great album for a 3-record set. And Sgt. Pepper's remaster, which is so, so great.
So nice.
Yeah.
I watched a really good movie recently, Kodachrome.
WABC. Kodachrome is a movie about a music executive.
But it's Jason Sudeikis, and I really like him.
I love him.
And what's his last name? Ed Harris?
Sullivan?
Nope. He's been gone a long time.
Right now, we're going to have a music executive right here. So Ed Harris is in every movie.
He's really good in this one.
Mm-hmm. So what's the plot?
I mean, he usually is always.
Oh, yeah. He's great in the National Treasure movies. He's a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
That's one of those movies I can't go past.
What? Oh, National Treasure?
Yeah.
Oh, I have them.
If it's on TV, you got to stop.
I have them on Blu-ray.
Shocker.
Because the best part of the second one is that it has Mr. Frank Herzog in it. Local television luminary plays a waiter at the scene at Mount Vernon. And the president actually says, "Thank you, Frank."
I didn't realize that.
See, now you have something to look for. And then Nicolas Cage tricks the president into going into George Washington's hole.
Oh, my God. Only you could twist that around.
I just said the thing.
It's a secret tunnel.
That's what Mrs. Washington called it. I'm not going to make a wooden teeth joke. I refuse.
Oh.
I know, right?
Yikes.
Splinters. Hey, my plate's on your wall.
What?
I just noticed my plate is on your shelf over there.
The Kentucky Colonel.
Yes, that's right. That's nice.
I know.
That'll mean so much to you when I'm dead and gone at the end of this episode.
Are you so happy now?
I am. So anyway, so Ed Harris is a music executive, or Sudeikis is a music executive?
Sudeikis. Ed Harris plays his father.
Uh-huh.
And is a famous photographer.
Oh, and I bet you that's why they called the movie Kodachrome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they stopped developing Kodachrome film, and that was his
manufacturing
main
manufacturing yeah. It yeah mm-hmm. I remember, because you know what, digital cameras.
And so there was a place in I think Iowa
mm-hmm.
that was the last place that would be developing this film, so they made like a pilgrimage to Iowa, but they were estranged, and then
so it's a Journey picture.
Yes,
but it doesn't have the band Journey in it.
I don't think so.
You know what? I think I remember that movie now. They went and drove to Steve Bridges Film Store in
yes.
Coral City, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They go in and they say, "We'd like to buy all of your Kodachrome film." And he says, "Oh, well, I don't have any left."
No, they don't want to buy it. They need to get it developed.
Oh, to develop it. Yeah, well.
Yeah, because there was the last place left that would develop that kind of film.
It's amazing that a professional photographer wouldn't be doing his own developing.
I think Kodachrome was a different kind of film.
Would you like to know a really inappropriate joke that Groucho Marx told in the 1930s?
Oh, and they went
to Kansas. Oh, okay. Well, then forget it. Would you like to hear the really inappropriate joke in the 1930 movie Animal Crackers that Groucho told?
My God.
He's talking about going over to Africa, and he says...
The crap I put up with you.
Well, you could say no.
No.
All right. Forget it. It's inappropriate. I probably shouldn't be repeating it anyway.
But Groucho Marx told inappropriate jokes?
It snuck him by the censors.
Oh, go ahead.
He said he was talking about his safari in Africa. He says, we took some pictures of the native girls, but they weren't developed.
Oh.
Right?
That's a terrible joke.
That's like the Me Too movement in 1930. Not
that's
okay.
Horrible.
Yeah. So think about that the next time you talk about how great Groucho Marx is.
Did I?
No, that's what I do.
Yeah.
So.
Let's anyway. Go answer some questions.
Oh, yeah. It's time because it's time to get to know us.
Getting to know. Getting to know all about you.
Ah, yes, you are so kind to post your questions with little time notice on early on a Saturday morning. Let's see. I have to move this window. Okay, Jim Amato asks, Jim Amato, good guy, had lunch with him last week. Love you, Jim. What did Billy Joe McAllister throw off the Tallahatchie Bridge? It's one of the great white trash records of all time. Is it Ode to Billy Joe? Bobby Joe. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
Ode to
Bobby Joe.
Bobby Joe.
Yeah. What's your theory on it?
I'd rather not say.
Well, you can. I just told that horrible Groucho Marx joke.
I thought it was a baby.
I think it was a rock.
What?
Well, it's fun to throw rocks into the water.
What?
What? What? No, I do think you're
well,
right.
Either that or like a gun.
But it couldn't have been a human body?
I thought it was a body of some sort.
Yeah, but a baby body.
Baby bird.
Baby bird. Okay. I think we'll go with that. It is a baby. And the baby was probably the result of a bad liaison, a dalliance. Don't you think?
I don't know.
All right. That was good. We covered that. Michael Bongiovi writes, ooh, we're halfway there. Ooh, living on a prayer. No, that's different Bongiovi. Michael Bongiovi writes, do you think the Moody Blues Tuesday afternoon was inspired by the Tuesday song of the Mouseketeers? Let's compare them.
Do you think Michael Bongiovi would be related to John Bongiovi?
Well, it could be because that was his given name, right? Bongiovi?
Maybe.
Anyway, here is the Moody Blues. Great cut from their album, Days of Future Past. This is Tuesday afternoon. Proper title, actually, The Afternoon Forever Afternoon Tuesday, but I just didn't have the time. I'm just beginning to see. So you got sort of the melody and the feeling of it, right? Beautiful. And then does it sound like this?
Tuesday.
Yeah, I hear it.
Tuesday is a real good news day.
Listen to this, Dick.
Today is Tuesday. You know what that means. We're going to have a special guest.
Quit bending your notes.
So get out the broom. Sweep the place clean.
Clean.
And dust off the mat so the welcome can be seen. Ha, 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 ha. Roll out the carpet.
Might as well just take it to the end of this verse.
And give out with a hip hooray.
Everybody, hip hooray.
Wiggle your ears like good Mouseketeers. We're going to
do you think that when... Mickey cried, he made Mouseketeers come out of his eyes.
Oh my God. I like that joke.
No, you don't. I've just worn you down.
I'm not a Disney person.
I like the Disney properties. For cartoons, though.
I like the thought of Mickey crying. Man, I went dark there for a second. Wow.
How about, okay, then let's think of some other dark Disney things. How about an alcoholic Donald Duck?
He was.
How about Goofy coming to terms after an amputation?
What?
I'm just thinking of really sad things for Disney
Did
characters.
Did Goofy have an amputation?
No, I'm just making it up.
Oh.
Because Mickey never cried. Donald wasn't an alcoholic.
There's like a couple episodes of the Donald Duck show where he got drunk.
Well, sure, but he's not an alcoholic. I mean, I'm talking about like to a point where Daisy leaves him and he can't have Huey, Dewey, and Louie around anymore because of his behavior.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you want to get dark? I can play that.
Okay.
I can play that game. Katie? Oh, well, anyway, so yeah, I definitely hear the connection. I do believe that Tuesday was inspired by Tuesday. What song always puts you in a good mood? What?
Why? What's happening?
I don't know, but I'm just looking at my soundboard. Do you realize on the cake and cookie soundboard, I have in three different places, today is Tuesday?
Oh, well, you got to have it accessible.
I keep adding it, I suppose. What song always puts you in a good mood?
Carole King, Beautiful.
You know, I always reference you when I play that on the radio. It's a great, great record.
It is.
I'm trying to think if I have anything that has that sort of magical effect on me. I do like the Today is Tuesday song. I think Be My Baby.
Wait, really?
I really do. I like the Be My Baby by the Ronettes. That one always makes me happy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I go with that. And you know what else? I Feel Fine by the Beatles. It's a definite pick-me-up record. Hello?
I'm not going to disagree.
Thank you. That was good.
I was trying to think of being contrary, and I don't have anything for that.
I have a song that makes you happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Tonight on Murder, She Wrote. Am I right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Very happy song considering the subject matter.
The mass murders in a small Maine town?
Mm-hmm.
Cabot Cove. Do you like the episode where Dr. Seth Hazlitt had to come to terms with having an amputation?
Again, that never happened.
I remember the episode. He said, Angela, my foot is itching, but it's gone. It's a phantom itch.
So as far as the conspiracies around this show, do you think it was Grady or Angela who was committing all the murders?
It was Sheriff Amos Tupper.
But Amos wasn't there for the whole run of the show.
But it's kind of like one of those weird Netflix shows where he leaves, but the murders have to keep going, so a fan continued doing the murders.
Like a copycat?
Yes, exactly.
Ooh.
One of the young Tuppers.
I think you're wrong.
Tupperian. It was a Tupperian situation. No, I think Seth...
I don't ever want to be in a Tupperian situation.
Not with you, not ever, not never. No. Do you think... No, I think Seth was probably in on it because she would have to really... Dr. Seth Hazlitt, I think...
I know who you're talking about.
Well, you made rock eyes at me.
Well, I don't think he was in on it.
Well, it's not Angela because what kind of a sociopath would have to prove all the murders?
A sociopath?
Yeah, but also sometimes when she caught them, they admitted it.
Yeah, that's why I don't necessarily agree with all the people who say that it was Grady
or her. I think it was something in the water. Everybody's killing everybody.
But she traveled.
Well, yeah, but she probably brought a bottle of water with her. Here, drink this.
As I took a drink of water, I'm going to die.
Yeah, that was a very Tuparian drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
All right, couple more. How about that?
Sure.
I like this. Dear Casey, it's so great to have... Dear Casey, it's so great to have Katie back and an excellent voice. And it's true. You sound fantastic. We were listening to promos before the show. You sound better now than you did a year ago.
Oh, gosh. When you were playing the promos from last year, I could hear it.
Yeah. And Ben McDaniel, who basically did a science fair project on your voice... Mm-hmm. Explained why. Dear Casey, it's so great to have Katie back and an excellent voice. What books have you read lately or plan to read this summer? I'm attempting to read Ulysses by James Joyce. All the best and have a boss Memorial Day weekend. Love you both, Matt and Jenny from Urbana, Illinois. I'm starting to read a book about the production of Young Frankenstein, believe it or not.
Well, okay, so as far as fun reading...
Fun!
I kind of am having... I still don't have full vision in my right eye. Like,
really?
My peripheral is...
Well, don't go see any 3D movies.
Fuzzy?
Yes.
from the surgery. It's coming back. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
And it doesn't affect me except for when I try to read something.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, I kind of have to hold it over to the left.
Like you're sneaking up on it.
And so since I had the surgery, the only thing I've read, I had to read it for a presentation.
Right.
That I did at work was Think Like a Freak, which is the sequel to Freakonomics.
Right.
But I have a stack of books I'd like to read.
What have you thought about doing audiobooks?
It's not the same. I like to read before I go to bed.
Oh, that is not the same. I do some audiobooks in the car because I
that makes sense.
I drive a lot, and I'm for the past year or so I've been listening to It.
Wah!
And because I only listen a little bit, and it's seriously like an 80-hour audiobook, it's taking forever.
Oh my Lord!
But it's fascinating. It's great, right? You know who reads it is Stephen Weber, the guy from Wings. Not Paul McCartney, the guy from Wings, the television show Wings.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, he's good.
I actually knew what you meant.
Thank you. That's nice. We are
connected.
What's
the other guy that was on Wings?
Something I'm sorry. I prematurely Casey'd. What?
What was the other guy on Wings? Hayden Church?
Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church.
Okay, I like him.
Yeah, he's in the wine movie.
Sideways.
That's it.
Peter
Nagel
mm-hmm.
writes, or it might be Peter Nagele. Peter writes, who was the better DJ, Dr. Johnny Fever or Venus Flytrap?
I liked Johnny Fever.
I agree. I think Venus had a niche, but really, truth be told, they're both excellent because they're able to broadcast without using headphones. None of feedback. Do you have any big plans for the summer?
Nope.
Me neither. Please to rank your favorite.
We're just like sad sacks. No plans.
I'm gonna
not doing anything.
I'm gonna try to come to terms with my amputation.
I am. But Dan and I are talking about going up north.
Oh God, I hope so. I'd love to see you. Oh, and you know what? The family and I are taking our Disney cruise in August.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So where do you leave port?
We're leaving out of Herndon, and we're going to hit Manassas, McLean.
No port in Herndon.
Well, did I say cruise? More of a bus trip. And did I say Disney? It's more of a charter. I oversold it a little bit. No, I believe we are flying. I think we're going out of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay. Will you drive to Fort Lauderdale?
No, we will fly to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So that's what we're planning on doing. I need to do this reset. Please to rank your favorite, David Addison and Maddie Hayes, Pam Beasley and Jim Halpert, and Tony Maselli and Angela Bauer. Are you familiar with all of these couples?
What was the second group?
Pam Beasley and Jim Halpert. This is from Alan Gygax, by the way. Pam Beasley and Jim Halpert from The Office. Tony Maselli and Angela Bauer from Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
And David Addison and Maddie Hayes from, of course, Moonlighting.
Right. Okay. Maddie?
Yes. No, baby, no. baby.
Maddie, Jim, Tony.
I agree. Because the thing about Angela Bauer, Judith Light, that hair, man. That coffee cake hair.
It was intense. It was intense.
Mm-hmm. So
Mona.
You know how she got that name. Missy Hewart Betchard writes, I admire Rob greatly as a parent. Very wise. What would Rob say is the best advice he could give to someone who is parenting a young 8-year-old daughter? Ooh, 8's tough. Also, what does Katie feel contributed most to her success in becoming a strong, independent woman with convictions she is willing to stand up for? Would you like to go first on this?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead. What is
I have a very strong, independent mother.
True.
And she's amazing, 100%. So we're both of my grandmothers. I think the reason I am strong, independent, if you think that, is because of the role models I had. Aunt Jane.
Yep.
My mom. My incredible grandmothers. Yeah.
Leading by example. Very cool. That's solid. And it
probably made raising me harder.
Yeah. You know, I don't think either of us were probably real pieces of cake.
No.
Or cookies.
I was an asshole. No, I was a terrible teenager.
That's such a horrible word to say.
It's true. I was horrible.
All right. Well, my advice, and then my advice for parenting an 8-year-old is, I would probably say, is just my advice would be to tell them to shut up. Jesus, you talk all day. No. My advice, never ever talk down to a child, even when they're a baby. Talk to them like you're talking to a real person. Let them know you have value. When I look back, not just my parents, but my relatives, my favorite relatives always were the ones that would ask me my opinion on something, ask me a question that had some sort of substance, and then they'd listen to what I say. I can remember that from being 4 years old and how much it meant that, like, my Uncle Dick would ask me some and really talk to me and ask follow-up questions. Kids are so smart. They will be as smart as you allow them to be. So talk to them at that level, and you will benefit from that. So there you go. Of course, Robert still doesn't clean his room, but he's a wonderful conversationalist.
That's probably the best thing. That's really great advice.
I mean it. I stand by it. I can screw up a lot of things, but I've raised some good kids. So there's
that.
Yeah,
you have.
All righty. So we'll do it again next week. Are your friends there?
No, not yet.
I got you there with 7 minutes to spare. I'm pretty solid.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Clock management. Think how early it would be if we hadn't talked for 40 minutes before we hit record.
Oops.
I know. Things happen. All right,
what,
dearie.
An Easter egg.
We will... It's like a duck egg. It's huge.
The Easter egg might be better than the show.
No, a duck egg isn't huge. A goose egg is huge. But a goose egg also means zero.
Daddy, I want a golden goose. Now I want it now.
I want my trash picked up twice a week in Loudoun County. I want it now. All right, we'll do this again next week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope we have proven to you that in comparison, your life really isn't that bad. Put it at the end this week.
You have 3 refrigerators, Rob.
Yeah, but one of them's unplugged. By the way, look for that on MTV this weekend. Rob's Refrigerator Unplugged, in which my refrigerator plays all of its big hits without electric instruments.
The title, the subtitle is, we're taking it off life support.
Oh, it's gone. The final defrosting, she has begun.
The final defrosting. That's the follow-up album.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Robbie.
We'll see you next week. So long, everybody.
Toodaloo.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking.
I messed up. I have to do this one again.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Perfect. Cross-pollination. Here we go. This is me on this podcast promoting this podcast. Here, listen to this disc jockey. He's great.
97-1 the wave.
Ooh.
Oh, is that over already? That was nice. I love segueing from Richard Harris into Rick James. She's a very freaky girl. She has so many piercings in her lip, it's physically impossible for her to eat soup. Here's Super Freak on Rob Radio.
You know what's the most disgusting thing about that is I'm laughing before I tell the joke because I like the joke that much. This disc jockey is an
Yeah.
It's Rick James, bitch. Let's turn that off.
What did the 5 fingers say to the feet?
So now you know. I get up on Saturday mornings and I listen to me.
Right.
Much to talk about, yes?
I watched Dazed and Confused yesterday.
Great movie.
a lot of disturbing things in there that I had forgotten about.
The high point in Wiley Wiggins' career, wouldn't you say?
There's so many people, so many currently famous people in that movie.
Ben Affleck in it?
He's a jerk. He's like the villain, the bad guy.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, there's All Right, All Right, All Right.
Of course. But what I found was totally sober watching this movie, waiting for Dan to get home.
Yes.
And I was like, just watching that movie made me feel high.
It's true. It's true. And you know what? Another movie that's just like that is The Doors. If you watch The Doors, you feel like you're on a trip.
Yeah.
It's like upsettingly so. And also, don't go see that movie with your mother, which I did. Yeah. Two bad things. Yes. Because it came out, I was like maybe 18, 16, 17, I don't know, a teenager. And Into the Doors, great band. I thought, this would be like going to see a concert movie. And it was not. Mm-mm. No. There was.
I believe they would call it today a biopic.
Yeah, well, it was biopic, another movie to go see with your mother, because it was not great. There was implied dalliances that I didn't get. Let me put it to you this way. When we left that movie, we were mostly discussing the music, not a lot of the plot. But also, that's we got good. In trouble because I've always found the song, the Alabama song, to be quite comical.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
And they play that during a montage when they're going on the Ed Sullivan show. And I was giddy because I like Ed Sullivan scenes in music movies. And they're playing them and I start laughing. And my mom starts laughing. She says, stop it. Don't laugh at that. And then this hippy dippy in front of us says, turns to us and says, dude, not funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's taking it very seriously.
Jesus.
I know. What's a fella to do? One thing and then we'll begin the program because you have
do
a hard out.
Too much mouth noise.
You mean talking? Yes.
My allergies are so bad.
Oh, don't even start. I'd love to send my eyes out to have them laundered if I could.
My eyes look like I've been in like a small role in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was on set last night.
All right, all right, all right.
I can barely get my eyes open this morning.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey.
Ha 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 ha. Dude, not funny. It was really awkward. And it was also, I mean, obviously, they hadn't gotten to the whole deviant sex part yet, and I don't want, there's a word I'm avoiding carefully, but that was the time that my mom and I first exchanged awkward glances, like, okay, we better take this movie seriously. But
something's about to go down.
Yeah, hey, you know what, there, now you've said it. That's perfect. That's exactly what made me feel ill at ease.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.